glad to be back here, and this is the fifth of an 8-series course called Busting the Illusion. And I want to start, as always, by inviting Master Jesus and all the other ascended masters who are involved with this work to assist us in assimilating it and assist me in presenting it. And I thank them for their presence. I'm going to talk about healing and clearing negativity tonight. Before I get started into that topic, I want to add something on to last time's session. We talked about the different voices and personas of the ego. We named them as the tyrant, the judge, the spiritual ego, the buddy, the pleasure seeker. And I just wanted to add that there are so many other personas and voices. Those are just some of the most prominent, obvious ones that are common to all of us. There's also the martyr, the bitch, the complainer. Those are three of my favorites. The complainer, the bitch, the martyr. They all go hand in hand, don't they? Because if you're listening to the tyrant, then you're going to get exhausted and you're going to get really cranky and crabby, and you're going to feel martyred, and you're going to complain, and then you're going to seek pleasure and eat a lot, maybe. Then the spiritual ego is going to shame you about all of it. That's how it all works. The personas that the ego takes on are such that you can never win. You listen to one and it leads to another and it leads to another and then that leads to another and it circles around like that. And so they're all connected. It's really interesting to see how that works. Healing and clearing negativity. There's a lot to this topic. So I'm going to start just by saying that it's a really important topic. It's important because we can't easily move out of the thought stream or the egoic voice in our head when it is full of negativity. There is often some healing work and some clearing of that negativity that has to be done before we are strong enough to move beyond that very compelling negative thought stream. Negative thoughts and feelings are extremely compelling. It's like watching a train wreck. You can't take your attention away from a mind that is negative and fearful. It seems like you won't survive if you do. And so somehow we need to make the thought stream more positive, more neutral, less compelling. And of course, I've talked about meditation as being something that is very key in that. There are many other methods or techniques or things we can do that can heal and clear the negativity. Psychotherapy has a goal of clearing that negativity to the extent that it builds a more positive ego. Unfortunately, psychotherapy often doesn't go far enough in acknowledging that there's something beyond a healthy ego, beyond a personal me, beyond a positive sense of me. So psychotherapy does help in making the mind more positive, but it doesn't necessarily point you away from the personal self, the false self. So then you have a more functional false self, which is great. And that is a step in the right direction and a step that probably needs to be taken because, as I said, it's hard to get beyond a negative mind. It's much easier to get beyond a positive and neutral mind. So the whole step in the process of healing is from negative to more neutral and positive self-images and ideas to moving completely beyond that thought stream, to living from a place that is not dependent on the thought stream, that moves as it is moved to move, that speaks as it is moved to speak. So making this thought stream more positive, one of the most important things, and I love A Course in Miracles for this, and of course my Jesus teachings, the ones that are coming through me, are also emphasizing this, is forgiveness. forgiveness is such a simple principle, really. And it is actually quite simple to do. It's simple, but it's powerful. We forgive our negativity. Of course, we want to forgive other people's negativity too, because that will help us forgive our own negativity. But it's important that we forgive ourselves for getting lost in the negative egoic mind. Forgiving ourselves allows us to start fresh, to just drop it and start anew. You have to stop clinging to the old painful thoughts and feeling bad about having those painful thoughts. But the funny thing is, the ego would rather have its painful thoughts and its negative thoughts and the identity it gets from that than to have no identity. So the ego isn't necessarily looking to have a positive identity. It's perfectly content with the negative identity. In fact, a negative identity keeps you more involved with it than a positive identity, as I just explained. So the ego is really not very helpful in getting you to forgiveness. It's the opponent of forgiveness. And so there is a force at work that drives us to cling to our negativity, to hang on to it, to not drop it. And in part, that is bolstered by a sense of needing to be right, the ego's need to be right. It would rather be right and suffer in its negativity than to give up its negativity. So that's the dilemma we find ourselves in as human beings. And we can have compassion for that dilemma. It is my dilemma, your dilemma, every human being's dilemma. And the only sane response to this is compassion. So we forgive ourselves for being stuck with an ego and for sometimes identifying with that and speaking the negative judgments and so forth that spew forth from the ego. We are going to fail at being perfect human beings because we have this ego that is very compelling. It's hard to get beyond the ego. So we spiritual people try very hard to be positive, and yet we still find ourselves gossiping and judging and doing things that end up making us and others feel bad. So when we catch ourselves at that point, there's only one thing to do, and that's to forgive. Forgive and let go. That wipes the slate clean so we can go on. If we don't forgive, then we cling to that identity of I'm a terrible person, I'm a judging person, and the small self that is created by those judgments. It feels terrible to be involved with the ego. It feels terrible to be a judger, to be a complainer. We have to just see that and make a choice. Make a choice. And what helps us make that choice is to just forgive and to recognize that this forgiveness is available to us in any moment. There is no God or force that's judging us. We're the only one who can keep ourselves tied and a prisoner to the egoic self. We are the only ones doing it to ourselves. And the way out is forgiveness. So we forgive ourselves for making mistakes. We make a mistake by identifying with the ego. It's an honest mistake. It's a human mistake. It happens all the time, and there's no way to get beyond it except to see that it's a mistake, recognize that it's a mistake, forgive ourselves, and move on. So this is a very, very important principle in clearing the mind. Another very simple thing is to forget. Forget the past. Forgiveness and forgetting go hand in hand. In order to not perpetuate the need for forgiveness, we need to forget. So whatever mistake that we made in the past that we forgave, we need to just forget it and not bring it forth so that we have to forgive it again. forgetting the past is a really important thing we can do to clear this thought stream of negativity, because a lot of the thoughts that occupy the thought stream are thoughts about the past. And these are never to our benefit, really. We may think that they serve a purpose. We think we need to analyze the past in order to understand it and glean wisdom from it. But in fact, we don't. The egoic mind does not glean understanding from the past by analyzing it with that part of the mind. The ego doesn't have wisdom. We, from our wisest self, can at times use that objective intellect to gain wisdom when that is what we're setting out to do. But what most people do with thoughts about the past is run them around and around and around in their mind, trying to change the past, which can't ever be done, trying to figure out who was right, what I should have done, or just going over what they thought actually happened. All of that is a waste of time, and it reinforces those thoughts about the past, which will ensure that they come up again and again, more and more, and then they become a real problem. So whatever we give our attention to is fed. So if we give our attention to thoughts about the past, they're going to seem so important and they're going to become problematic. And any feelings attached to those thoughts about the past are going to be our present moment experience. And who wants that? Who needs that? It's useless. Why bring the past into this perfect present moment? There is no need to do that. And this is important to see because we're programmed to believe that our mind is doing us a favor by thinking about the past, that it's serving some purpose, but it isn't. So look carefully at this and see that the thoughts about the past are not serving you ever, ever, ever. They don't serve you. Forget the past. When you have a thought about the past, simply turn your attention somewhere else. It doesn't really help to push thoughts away. The only thing that would push a thought away is the ego. The ego judges the thought because it hears these teachings and it says, oh, okay, I'll do that for you. I'll push that thought away. And so then the ego is just continuing to be involved. So the way out is to forget it. The way you forget it is you drop it. The way you drop it is you turn your attention to something other than the thoughts. You turn your attention to your body, your senses, to reality, to your present moment experience. And you let it stay there for a while. Otherwise, you'll just go back to the thought stream. We have to learn to stay in the body and senses and in the present moment long enough for the present moment experience to move into the forefront of our experience. Because that's the problem, isn't it? The thought stream for most of us is in the forefront while presence is in the background. The awake life is a situation where presence is in the foreground and the thought stream is way in the background. So that's the shift. That's the switch. So the more time you spend in presence, the more it will come to the foreground and be prominent in your experience. And the more it will unfold and flower and be magnified in your experience, it will become more noticeable and easier to be in. So these are two very simple things, forgiving and forgetting. None of those are really possible without this other primary thing, which is that first of all, we have to be aware of what is in our thought stream. The first step in healing and clearing the negativity in the thought stream is to be aware of it, to notice your thoughts. And what can be aware of and notice the thoughts is your true self, essence. It's the only thing here that's noticing and aware of anything. Whenever you're aware of anything, you are in your true self. You are aligned with your true self. So noticing is a primary practice, really. It's a spiritual practice. Notice. Notice what is happening here and now. And that might include what is happening in your thought stream. But don't notice exclusively what is happening in your thought stream. Notice also what is happening in the world around you. Presence notices all of it. When we get lost to presence, we lose it. What happens is we become identified with a thought stream and we lose presence and we become our false self. We become the ego. The remedy for that is to become aware of the thoughts that we're thinking. Being identified with the thought stream is not being aware of the thoughts. You're lost in them. When you're lost in your thought stream, you're not aware of your thoughts. So there's this little step back out of the thought stream when you become aware of what you're thinking. And this is what mindfulness practice and all of meditation teaches you. It teaches you to step back and become aware of what you're thinking. And most spiritual practices are also designed to help you do that, to step back and become aware of your thoughts. And as I've said before, that awareness is the first step, but if that's the only step you take, you're still going to be glued to the TV set of your mind. And you're still going to be walking around glued to virtual reality. A lot of people, I think, find themselves in that situation where they've learned to watch their mind. They've learned that they're not their mind, but they're still just watching their mind instead of being in reality, which would put the mind way in the background. And having your body and senses and intuition and other subtle experiences in the foreground. So awareness is absolutely key, and being able to notice your thoughts is absolutely key, and it will totally change your life. So I don't want to minimize that step at all, because it is a life changer. And some people even call that an awakening. I don't call that an awakening. It's the beginning of waking up out of the egoic mind. It's the beginning when you first get that you're not your mind. Oh my goodness, I'm not my mind. I can look at my mind and I have a choice about what to do with my mind. I can choose to think those thoughts or not. I can choose to believe those thoughts or not. I can choose to involve myself with those thoughts, or I can turn my attention elsewhere. This is a very significant time in our evolution when we realize that. It's huge. So it's no wonder that people feel that this is an awakening, because it is an awakening of sorts. It's the beginning of waking up out of the egoic mind. But as I said, if that's all you do, you still aren't in reality. You're still involved with the virtual reality, but you have become more objective about it, and you have more choice about it. And that is the process of deepening. I don't think you can go from being fully involved with the egoic mind to being fully present in an instant. There's a process, and that process is that you begin to detach from the egoic mind. It's a lengthy process, and the first step is to be able to notice and see what's there. So that is also a primary means for beginning to clear the negativity, because then you have some choice about what to do with that negativity. And so here are some things that you can do with that negativity. First of all, you want to investigate it. And this is often called inquiry. When you have a thought that makes you feel contracted, that's what I would call a negative thought. A negative thought contracts your body. You can feel it in your energy and in your body. It makes you feel small and contracted. It doesn't feel good. So when you have a negative thought, you can stop and you can ask yourself, is that true? Is that true? Do I need that thought? And is it serving me? But just simply, is that true? Byron Katie is the one, through her process called The Work, who has done the most service to this work of inquiry in spelling it out very clearly about how to do this. But simply that question, is it true, is very, very powerful. Because what you find when you begin to look at your thoughts is that they simply don't hold up to that examination. Now, people, they might be able to find some truth in a thought, but most thoughts do not have enough truth in them to be actually true. That's why the illusion is tricky, because your thoughts have a little bit of truth in them, but they are a small story that you tell about life or about yourself or about other people that doesn't contain the whole truth. So that's one of the tools that we bring to the thought stream once we're able to see our thoughts, is inquiry, is simply looking and saying, is that true? And finding out how untrue, unhelpful, and unuseful the thoughts actually are in your thought stream. Now, if a thought has feelings attached to it, it's going to seem very believable, because the feelings make it seem believable. So if there is a thought, a negative thought that has a lot of negative feelings attached to it, then you will have to sit with those feelings and examine those feelings and the multiple thoughts that underpin those feelings. The other tool we can bring to the thought stream, to clearing it and healing it, is what we call reframing or reprogramming the negative thoughts. People are real familiar with this from affirmations, positive thinking, new thought. And the idea is that the mind is like a computer, and it stored certain conclusions, certain negative conclusions, and certain things that it learned as a child, when there isn't enough discrimination to know any better. The mind comes to negative conclusions and it absorbs negative and untrue conclusions that other people teach it. The child absorbs all that and it becomes part of the programming. That's what's coming up in the thought stream. Erroneous conclusions, untruthful conclusions, negative conclusions that the mind, the egoic mind, came to. And now the person believes those negative, erroneous conclusions wholeheartedly. And in order to reprogram the mind, that negative programming needs to be seen for what it is, and then it needs to be replaced with something that, in a sense, neutralizes it or erases it. And then that belief can be restored in the computer as a neutralized belief. The world of computers has really given us this wonderful analogy for us to understand how our minds work. And it's really very simple and scientific. We can reprogram our minds by consciously becoming aware of our thoughts and replacing negative thoughts with positive ones. Now, there's some art to replacing and reprogramming these thoughts so that it works. And I'll give you an example. If you have the thought, I'm not lovable, it's not necessarily going to work to reprogram that by going to the exact opposite and telling yourself, I'm lovable, I'm lovable, I'm lovable, because that might be too big a leap for the mind to take. So what might work better is some other thought that is also true that the mind can't argue with. The thoughts that are true that will neutralize the negative thoughts in the thought stream are truths that come from your true self, from essence. We want to reprogram the thought stream with the truth, with what essence or the wisest, most loving, accepting healer, mentor, teacher, spiritual guide would say to you. The perfect parent. It might be something like, you are loved. You are perfect as you are. There's nothing but love here. You were made from love. There are any number of loving statements that you could say to yourself. And this is what you have to find intuitively to go quiet within yourself and find what intuitively works to counteract that negativity in the mind. Because it's a particular thing for you that will work. And your own deep wisdom that comes from your intuition will show you what that is. It will give it to you. So it's an exercise in listening to your depths to find the positive statement that will neutralize the negative mind. The positive statement that comes from your deepest self that is true universally. And you'll know it when you find it because you know truth when you hear it. It makes you relax, feel at peace, feel calm, feel good. So when you find a piece of truth, that's what happens. You rest. So that's what we're looking for when we reframe or reprogram. We're looking for a positive story, you could say, or a positive spin, a reframe of what you've been saying to yourself. We're looking for a bigger story, a story that contains more truth, which will be a positive story. But it's not going to be a story like, I am the master of the universe, and I'm the best person on earth. I'm the most lovable person on the earth. That actually doesn't allow you to rest and feel at peace because something like that is coming from the ego. Positive statements that puff up your own ego or make you special are not the kind of positive statements I'm talking about. The positive statements I'm talking about will allow you to just relax and be as you are and be okay with everything the way it is. They allow you to rest. Whereas anything that's coming from the ego is going to stir you up emotionally or just stir up your mind. So you can always tell what's truth and what isn't truth. So that's reframing and that's reprogramming. And now I want to talk a little bit about just being with a feeling because that's, I think, a very important step in all of this. Because unless you know how to be with your feelings, they're likely to get reinforced and then they'll just keep coming up again. So if you have a set of negative thoughts that continues to produce certain negative feelings like fear or sadness or anger, then turning your attention away from those feelings is probably not going to be sufficient. You might have to do some healing work with those feelings by being the kind parent, teacher, guide to those feelings. And what a kind parent, teacher, guide would do is accept those feelings, would sit with those feelings like sitting with a hurt child who's angry or who's sad or who's upset about something. You could look at it as inner child work. What sits with the negative feeling, the anger, the sadness, the hatred, the resentment, the jealousy, whatever it is, what sits with that is your own true self, essence, the wise teacher, the good parent, the accepting, loving, compassionate force that you are. You sit with your feelings as that. In doing so, you have separated from your feelings in that you're no longer identified with them. You are with them, sitting next to them, accepting them, welcoming them, allowing them to be there, and very importantly, listening to them. This wise teacher that you are, this wise mentor healer, is very curious about those feelings. It wants to understand them. It wants to draw them out. The healing process is a process of acceptance, being with feelings, and allowing them a voice in a sense, allowing them to show themselves, to show what is behind them, what other mistaken ideas created them, or possibly what event or experience happened long ago or even in a past life that caused that complex of thoughts and feelings to be there. Your own wise self will bring you images or intuitions or ahas about this emotional complex. If you sit with it from a place of saying yes to it, you're welcome, I'm not afraid of you, because the ego would want to push it away and tries to push it back in the subconscious. It's afraid of it. It doesn't like it. It rejects it. Essence does the opposite. It says, okay, you're here. This is what is arising now here in this beautiful, perfect moment, is this feeling. So let's take a look at it. Let's take a look at it and see what it's all about. Curiosity is a quality of essence. Whenever you're in curiosity, you are in essence. Whenever you are in acceptance, you are in essence. Whenever you are in compassion, you are in essence. So you bring these qualities to your sitting with this feeling. Curiosity, acceptance, compassion. And let's put in patience too, because it might take a little while for the feelings to open up to you in a sense, to relax and show you, or to simply just dissipate. Because sometimes when you sit with a feeling, no aha moments happen, but there is just a relaxing of the feeling. Maybe there is no insight that you're given in that particular sitting, but if you sit with it patiently, it will eventually just relax. You can't sit with it with the intention of, okay, I'm going to get rid of this by sitting with it. That's not exactly patience or compassion or acceptance. So a certain amount of patience is required, a willingness to sit with your feelings. Willingness is very powerful. It shows your intention. When you have an intention to heal, all of the forces in the universe come forward to help you. So this willingness to just sit with your feelings summons the forces who are working on your behalf to help clear and heal your emotional body and your subconscious. So taking the time, whether you think something is happening or not, whatever you think, disregard that, because whatever you think about this process is going to be garbage from your egoic mind. Forget your thoughts. Your mind doesn't have the answers to healing itself. Your deeper intelligence does. Your intuition does. And the way to do this is to sit with, just be with. Be quiet, be silent, allow, as a loving parent would, until the child calms down, until the child stops crying, until it stops feeling bad. Then you give the child a hug and it runs off and plays again. So that's what happens if you just give it some time. That's the healing process. Now, you might have to do this over and over again many times. But eventually, the negative thoughts and the feelings will dissipate. They will diminish. They will become less compelling, less powerful. and you will become free of them. They'll fall in the background. Yes, they might still show up, but they'll be so far in the background that you won't find that they're interfering with your life. They aren't dominating your life anymore. So this is the healing process. And one of the metaphors I like to use with this healing process is chopping down a tree. When you're chopping down a tree, you're swinging that axe time and time again. Who knows how many times, dozens of times, maybe hundreds of times, you're swinging that axe and the tree is still there. It's still standing. And then one day, you go back to that tree and you work at it again, and boom, it falls down. And it's down. So my experience with this healing process, and it's quite a remarkable thing when this happens, is that you chip away at these complexes with your awareness, with your noticing, with your willingness to sit with these things and inquire and be compassionate towards and listen. You chip away at these emotional complexes. And one day, and it could be years of chipping away, because that's been my experience. I can think of one particular complex I chipped away at for 5 years. And then one day I noticed, oh my goodness, I never have thoughts like that anymore. Where did they go? I don't even know when they fell away. I just noticed that they weren't there one day. So it's really an amazing thing. Our whole process of healing and spiritual unfoldment is so mysterious. We are not in control of it. We can cooperate with it. We can have intentions and willingness and pray to be aligned with the process of healing. And that is another very important tool. You pray to have assistance from higher forces to clear and heal these complexes, the negative thoughts. It's very powerful. Ask and you shall receive. You have to ask and you will receive. Asking shows that you are open and ready and willing to receive. And so then the spiritual forces come forward to give, to help, to assist. They say, aha, she's ready. Let's go. Let's go. This is great. So asking is so very important. Now, last time I talked about clearing entities from the energy field, negative, non-physical entities that magnify our negativity and impinge on our mind and influence it in very, very negative ways. I talked about this last time, and I want to just tell you a little bit about how to clear these negative, non-physical energies from your field, because they are a very important aspect of healing in addition to doing this other healing work. So first of all is to ask for assistance in healing and clearing these energies and in understanding what negative thoughts or beliefs you're holding that are allowing this negativity to stay in place. You ask for assistance in understanding the woundedness that creates the negative feelings that attract the negative entities, that vibrate with the negative entities. And intuitively, you will receive answers to what it is that is at the base. Now, if you need help with this kind of thing, that's what healers are for. A lot of you can do this healing work yourself, but if there is a lot of abuse or trauma, then by all means, go to a healer who can work with you on these levels and clear negative entities, as well as working with the wounds and healing the wounds that allowed, in a sense, invited the negative entities to be there. So both things have to be done. You have to work to heal the wound that allowed the negativity to be there, and then you have to send the negative entities away. To send the negative entities away, you need to ask for help in doing that. So you simply call on angels whose work it is to do that. There are various beings who specifically have this as their work, to clear entities from human beings when they ask. And angels are some of those non-physical light beings that do that kind of work. So let's just call them angels. So call on angels and ask them to do that work for you. And then know that they will go about that. And they will both work in your energy field, clearing the non-physical entities. And they will also help you to heal those holes or tears or congealed areas in your energy body that are evidence of the wound that needs healing. They can help do the energy work that's required. They can give you intuitive understanding of what needs to be done. Now, when you are clearing the negative entities yourself, when you are declaring that they are no longer welcome there, because that's what your part is, you get yourself into a very positive state as possible through prayer, through gratitude, through seeing yourself as the magnificent, positive, loving being that you are. Get yourself into a positive state and declare to these negative entities that they are no longer welcome here and that they must go. And you don't have to state it in an angry way. Anger or fear is just of a negative vibration. You're just saying it from a place of strength. You are taking care of yourself by sending them away. You just let them know that you know about them. I know about you. You're no longer welcome here. You're busted. Be gone. Go into the light and call on the angels to help you. So you must make a very clear statement from your place of truth and power that they are no longer welcome. And know that you have nothing to fear. So don't bring any fear to this clearing. You don't need to fear them. They cannot do anything more to you than what they've ever done. They only hurt you with words. Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. They can't hurt you except if you believe their words. That's the only way they've ever hurt you. They aren't powerful. Words are not powerful if you don't believe them. You send them away. You can even have compassion for their lostness. They're lost. They're lost to love. They have lost their way. They believe that power and fear is how they'll survive. They don't believe in love anymore. They have misunderstood life, and they've believed the powerful beings above them who live according to power and fear. They're in the grip of other beings more powerful than them who are manipulating them and telling them lies about the truth about life. They're saying that love doesn't exist and that you'll only be safe if you get power. And the way to get power is by scaring people and by manipulating people. And if you scare and manipulate people, you'll gain power in our realms and then you'll be safe. That's what their world is. That's their realm. And it is a hell realm. So if you think this is a hell realm, guess what? There are a lot worse realms. A lot worse. But you don't have to partake in those realms at all. You clean your mind up by just seeing clearly what is in it and seeing that those are not your thoughts. Those are not your thoughts. The negativity in your mind, it belongs to your ego. It belongs to negative entities. It does not belong to you. You are beautiful and pure and perfect. That's who you are. And this becomes very, very clear. The more clear your mind gets, the more clear it becomes how beautiful and perfect you are. So this whole process becomes so much easier. As your mind clears, it becomes so crystal clear what's true and what isn't. So the hardest work is in the beginning. The hardest work is trusting what I'm saying to you is true, and then doing it, applying it. You have to make the choices. You have to do it. No one can do it for you. You can call in the angels. You can pray for help. But in the end, it is a moment-to-moment choice on your part to choose the light, to choose goodness, to choose being present here and now, to turn away from negativity and anything that causes you to feel small, limited, lacking, unhappy, and unkind. Go towards love. Go towards love. Here's a comment here that says, isn't the only way to forgive and forget to look from the never-changing present or the thought system of oneness? The separate self can never forgive and will always struggle with forgiving. Absolutely, that's absolutely true. The thing that heals the thought stream is separating from the thought stream. As soon as you're separate enough to notice the thought stream, you are in presence, and presence is the only thing that can forgive and forget. Healing happens from presence, and that's what we see in therapy too. With a good therapist, what they're doing is they are the accepting, loving, compassionate presence for the client. They are the model for essence, for presence for the client. And they're holding that space of forgiveness and compassion and acceptance. They're modeling it for the client so that the client can learn to do that for themselves. And so, yes, absolutely. It's only presence that heals. Of course, the egoic mind can't heal itself, and it doesn't want to heal itself. But we do have an intellect that is not the egoic mind that we can use to pick the mind apart. The intellectual, objective side of the mind that is not the voice in our head is used to see the falseness of the egoic mind. There is an aspect of mind that essence uses to take apart the egoic mind.